to speak to Amanda Ferguson, who was keeping her eye on Stormont yesterday. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Frank.
It's very clear from speaking to you, Amanda, you know, what your views are, and you've often expressed them on the programme with in relation to women's rights. But if yesterday wasn't such an important day, whether you are pro-life or pro-choice, or as you say, pro-choice or anti-choice, is I think the way you prefer to describe it. If it wasn't such an important day also for members of the LGBT community, if it wasn't such an important day for people who are just genuinely interested in politics and would like to see some normality in this country, if all of that wasn't so important, you could do a heck of a hole-in-the-wall gang skit on what happened yesterday.
It was an unusual day, another sort of storm and circus. We're all used to this, but I think it's because we haven't had government for nearly 3 years. The staff at Stormont were shocked to see so many people descend on the Great Hall and outside to make their views known. It was an interesting sequence of events in the chamber yesterday, as the DUP via the Attorney General sort of attempted to block the law that was passing last night. And then we had the unusual circumstance of the Speaker, Robin Newton, who is obviously a DUP representative, but he has to be impartial in that role. And he came under a lot of pressure from Martin Foster, from Paul Given, from Edwin Poots, to acquiesce to what they were asking for, and he refused to. So it was certainly one to watch, and for a few hours it sort of took away from the decades of campaigning that have gone on by the LGBT community and by the pro-choice community, but those law changes were secured at midnight.
I know we don't have to go very far to see parliamentary activity that's embarrassing, because there's plenty of that across in London. But were we even more exposed yesterday when we reminded the world just of how, and I choose these words carefully, how pathetic we are here?
Well, I think that in Britain, the eyes were focused on what was happening at Westminster, so I'm not sure that the sort of chicanery in the Stormont Chamber was of that much interest to them.
Well, just on that, Amanda, it did make all the national news bulletins last night, because I watched a whole cross-section of television last night, and I was able to take phone calls from a couple of people I know in England who were saying, "What are yous at over there?"
Yes, well, I think people were more interested in the fact that the law was changing, and then the sequence of events was a distraction to that, and people couldn't quite work out what was happening. But, you know, I spoke to you yesterday as I was just arriving at Stormont. I'd been speaking to pro-choice and anti-abortion campaigners who were outside Stormont, and then I came into the chamber to hear that there was some sort of legal challenge ongoing and legal discussion between the Assembly Legal Services and the MLAs and between the Attorney General John Larkin and the DUP, and it wasn't quite clear for a little while what exactly was happening. And I think some people started to panic a little, but you know, they knew that the laws were due to change at midnight, and they were concerned that something was going to get in the way of that happening. Then we saw the 1 hour in the chamber, and various walkouts and accusations of stunts and press conferences, and then the Stormont day ended and the law changed.
And what does it say to the Joes and Josephines around the country who voted for the politicians who haven't been doing their job, now that we see some of them back, maybe doing their best, some of the others doing their best to stymie them? What does it say to the electorate when we have politicians who behave like our politicians do?
Well, I think that what yesterday said was it was the very last moment that an attempt could have been made to try and stop the law in some way, but that intervention could have happened at any point over the last number of weeks, which is why I think the accusations of stunts and political theatre came into play. But I think actually what happened up at Stormont yesterday has been damaging to the political process here, because the members of the public have had to watch for the last 2.5 to 3 years of there being no government, of there being no sittings of Parliament, of MLAs receiving their wages and then reduced wages, and then all of a sudden we have this flurry of activity for a couple of hours over what. And as a number of people pointed out yesterday, you know, welfare reform, health waiting lists, poverty, climate, all of those big issues that are affecting people as well as the social issues that we're talking about aren't being properly addressed. And the civil servants up at Stormont can only do so much in the absence of ministers. And, you know, what role has the British government got in this in terms of, you know, it can intervene when it wants to make certain changes, but we obviously don't have a full direct rule, and that would be welcomed by some people and not welcomed by others. So I don't think that what happened yesterday puts a restoration of Stormont any closer. I think it's actually been damaging because it put a mirror up to how poor the relationships are between our politicians, and that's why I was quite surprised to see the Secretary of State saying, you know, that that the gaps were closing, because I don't really see that.
Okay, Amanda's line's gone down, but we got the tail end of what she's saying there. She doesn't see the gap closing between the politicians here in Northern Ireland. As a matter of fact, a suggestion that that gap is widening. It'd be very hard to argue with that. Alex Kane is on the line as well. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Frank.
Alex, you know, how do I phrase this that I don't sound too critical? But find some words of consolation for the Joes and Josephines that I often remark on, the ordinary, hardworking men and women of Northern Ireland who expect a bit more from our politicians. This was just a reminder, wasn't it, of the Horlicks that it is here in Northern Ireland.
I think Frankie summed it up, actually, because I don't think anybody would have been surprised yesterday. I think, you know, it's just the nature of people. They just don't expect the politicians to rise to the occasion. And so I didn't meet anyone yesterday. I was checking in the afternoon, picking up Lila, taking her back in from school, chatting to people in the schoolyard, chatting to people in, you know, in shops and so on, and doing some stuff later. People fill in the car. Nobody, not one person came up to me and said, I'm shocked at it. Absolutely. They just shrugged their shoulders and said, you know, I won't use the words, mess up there, they'll never be able to do anything. And that's the problem. I remember saying to you about a year ago, one thing that I thought the politicians hadn't actually realised was that their actions or lack of actions had sucked the hope and enthusiasm and confidence of the general public, of the elected. And the difference that people say about the gap between politicians and the public, the public had basically given up, Frank. There may be a few here and there think it would be good to see it up again. But there is no expectation. You remember last week was it 1,000 days they passed? I think we're 1,008 today. It was last Sunday, something like that, was 1,000 days. A couple of hundred people, Frank. A couple of hundred people could be bothered to turn up and register the complaint. Nothing else. Everybody just gets on, tries to get on with their life. You know, the parents are helping out schools with a bit of money who can't get funding. You know, in some cases I've seen people actually and they're trying to clean their own drains outside their papers and things like that. Because just a little thing, Frank, people are just like now accepting that it's not going to happen from the Assembly end.
It's worrying that, isn't it? You know, I know that you often wear the pessimistic crown, Alex, but it's very difficult for me to argue with anything that you're saying, because I feel exactly the same way. And when you talk to people, when you have a conversation with people, they've given up on our local politicians.
Absolutely. And funny you say about the pessimism, Frank, there. I find it used to be, I mean, 2 or 3 years before the Assembly went down, I was still pessimistic about in terms of what was happening. People used to say to me, including all sorts of conferences and, you know, briefings and, you know, CBI, various organisations, oh, Alex, try to be a bit more. That should be the most worrying thing for the politicians. They've given up, Frank. They have no expectation. I talked to a senior businessman about 2 weeks ago about an issue which has been bugging him for about 18 months now, and he's tried everywhere. He goes, you go to an MLA, oh, we can't because we can't do that. You try and get a meeting at the NI, oh, well, we can't because it's held up. You write to your MP, oh, well, we can't because that's technically the ball, matters, that has to be. And he has just completely, and he says, Alex, I speak for so many across so many of these organisations. We have, and they meet in various other groups, we have given up. And bet your bottom dollar, if civic society is giving up, Frank, then lower down the scale, you know, where just the ordinary, your Joes and Josephines. They have. It's almost like they've abandoned it. And do you know what's also interesting? Because it would be possible. It's one of those moments that we saw back in 97, 98. We saw it again in 2005, 6 and 7 with the UP and Sinn Féin this time. What we actually saw was the people on the ground putting pressure on the party leaders to make a deal. I remember senior people in the DUP and I said that back in 2007, you know, how are you going to get this through? And they've said to me, actually, Alex, we're getting this through because we're getting pressure from our grassroots saying, look, the District Assembly's going to be up and running. You guys need to be in there. You guys need to make sure that you're representing us and so on, which we've seen with Trimble before. It's not getting on. Ask Sinn Féin and the DUP, and they will tell you privately, they're getting no pressure from their own grassroots to cut. No one's coming up to them and going, look, guys, swallow a bit of humble pie, you know, give a concession here, do a compromise there, because we really need this to be working. Neither side, because if there was any sense that the people, the voters wanted that change, if they wanted this assembly, they would be putting pressure on, because that's how progress is made. The pressure comes from up. It doesn't come downwards, it comes upwards. And then that, in the absence of that pressure, politicians are also afraid to make a mistake or any sort of concession, because they believe if they make the first move, they will be punished by their own side, not by anybody else. And again, that's another little manifestation of just how bad things are. And just it's that fact I keep saying over and over again, but my real concern, though, is that politicians haven't a bloody clue. They don't actually fully comprehend. Because you hear them, oh, everybody wants it back up. Everybody gives it. Everybody's saying, nobody's saying that. Right. They're having a conversation in their own heads. They're talking about their own bubble somewhere. The reality is, you ask the vast majority of people in Northern Ireland, do they expect an assembly working cooperative? They would go, ah, they could maybe do a deal, but there'll be enough meeting if they do a deal. That's the reality of our assembly, Frank.
That's about as negative as we can get, Alex. I thank you for that. I'll give a final word to Amanda. At least we can look across the water, Amanda, and see a very smooth running operation across at Parliament.
Yes, so there's no comfort whenever you look over to what's happening at Britain. But I think that, like today, you know, I put out on my Twitter feed, you know, so what's next? You know, what are we interested in next? And there's a huge range of concerns amongst the public in Northern Ireland around peace walls, around education, around educational underachievement, around listening to loyalist concerns about the future of the UK, about nationalists who've checked out of Stormont because they don't think that it delivers for their identity. So there's a huge range of issues that still need to be tackled, and I think that the two governments, the British and Irish governments, are going to have to think again about how long this sort of circus or pantomime, or however you want to describe it, about Stormont is going to be sustained, because Alex is right. People don't want bad government. They don't want a return to what we had before, because it didn't really suit anyone. The overarching thing, and this is Brexit, because while it's so much turmoil here, and while Brexit isn't settled, how possibly could we ever have a return to devolved government while such a huge issue that's going to have such an impact on our part of the world is still undecided?
Amanda, Alex, thank you very much. I know some of you will be getting out and about and back to raising money for your school or cleaning out the drains on the road at the front of your house. Some of the things that Alex made reference to that people are actually doing themselves because of the failure of those who we've elected.